So tonight we're talking about redeeming the night and moving beyond sleep. But we're not talking about sleep fasting. We are talking about, wow, energy. How do we plug into energy? How do we get jacked up on Jesus? So even if you're lying in bed, you're shimmering with energy. You know, I had this just the other night. I did a conference for German people on meditation. Now, I'll tell you what, guys, Germans are funny. They are funny people. So, yeah, I was doing this conference for German people. I love Germans. And when I went to bed at night, Rachel fell asleep and I lied there for 3 hours because there was like a shimmering over my body. And it was just refreshing and beautiful. That's what I'm talking about tapping into. Or when you do fall asleep, can you go into the realm of light by location expansion? Or can you even sit in a chair all night like Michael Van Flymen? Michael Van Flymen, who wrote that book, Supernatural Transportation, that I recommended to you guys, he would just sit in a chair all night worshiping and go to work energized. So it's possible to transcend it. Now, think about it. Sleeping is such a fundamental thing, isn't it, that we don't question it. Eating is so fundamental. But last month, we covered Inedia, and it was the beautiful revelation of this. 1 Corinthians 5:7, that Christ, God's Lamb, has been slain for us, so let us feast upon him. The new creation is feasting on the juicy lamb deliciousness of Yeshua HaMashiach. And there's something about love that's energizing. There's something about joy that's energizing. Have you ever been felt a bit down and you're with a group of friends and being around them energizes you? And you come alive again. There's something about union. There's something about love. There's something about feasting that energizes us. And that's why the church hasn't had energy. A lot of the songs have been about, I'm a sinner. You saved a wretch like me. Let me tell you now, you have never been a wretch. That is not good Christian theology. It says you are wonderfully and fearfully made. We are the sons of God, and God put such a value on you that he pursued you. You've never been a wretch, but lots of these songs in worship say, oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. God, come. Or I'm bad. Forgive me for messing up. All of that takes you out of energy because you're focusing on the wrong energy. What you give your attention to is the energy you will have. That's why scripture says, set your mind on things above, higher consciousness, go higher, go into a realm of, whoa, higher consciousness, because you will draw energy from what you're most aware of. What you're most aware of will become the world you function in. So awareness is what it's all about. If you think you're a sinner, if you think God's distant, if you think you're a wretch, you will live like that because you've created that, not God. God's called you innocent. God's called you one with him. He took away your sin and took away the remembrance of your sin. He joined you to himself in oneness, and he did it without your permission. Believing and the finished works and rest is just believing what God has done and living from it. Is that you can't add anything to it, but you can't take away from it. It's an illusion when you think you're a wretch or separate from God. Every breath is Aleph. And I've talked about this before, but the Bible doesn't start with A. It starts with B, Bereshit, which means house or family or one. So according to the Jews, Aleph or one, the Lord our God is one. Aleph is where God created from, okay? Now, Aleph does not have a sound. It's just the sound of every sound when you go. So in every breath, you are saying his name. That's how intimately you are. In fact, the Jews teach this, that when God created the universe, he contracted some of his glory just to make more space so that we could exist within him. So in him we live. In him we move, in him we have our being. Where can I go from your presence? Isaiah chapter 6, the whole earth is filled with your glory. So the problem with the church is we've not got whacked on life. Jesus has given us a life that is juicy, juicy, juicy. We are in the juicy zone. We are in the bliss zone. We are on in the joy zone. But we live with this kind of amnesia because we forget the truth. And then a lot of church programs you back to religion. So you sing these songs of I'm a wretch who saved a wretch like me, yada, yada. You're not a wretch. You are in him. He is in you. You are the sons of light. How can you keep calling yourself a wretch when you're the sons of light? See, this is why we get tired. This is why we sleep. Right. This is why we get worn out, because we're not living in the union bliss joy fest that is called life, which is God has joined himself to you. And if you abide in him, he will feed you and shimmer over you and dance over you and sing over you. So I know it's difficult because we're kind of at the end of the age of Christianity as we've known it. It's hard. I know. I have empathy for everybody on the call. I know you're going through turbulence, but you know what? It's worth it, because this verse, we stand fully identified in the new creation. Woo! Renewed in knowledge according to the pattern of the exact image of our Creator. So the blueprint is the exact image. So we can't say Jesus is a wretch. So why do you call yourself a wretch? Jesus isn't a sinner. So why do you call yourself a sinner? Jesus isn't tired. So why do we think we're tired? See, we have to start to come back to Jesus. Religion's hijacked Christianity and taken away Jesus. But Jesus is this radical idea that as he is, so are you in this world. So whatever Jesus is, you are. He has so joined himself in oneness with you, in co-bliss, co-crucified, co-buried, co-raised. This is the gospel. And the old saints believe this. You know, the modern day church is, you know, we think we're cool and cutting edge, but actually we've forgotten most of our history. This is why we're having to write books like this and say, hey, slap someone. So maybe next time you're in church, just start slapping people in the face. Using Beyond Human, we used to have this inflatable hammer, right, which you blow it up, and it was a big hammer. We called it the glory hammer. We would hit people on the head with it in our meetings. They would get so drunk in the Holy Spirit. And it's so funny, because one day we had a kid come over to our house to visit our son, Sam, and there was an inflatable hammer, and the kid said, what's that? And my son Sam said, it's the glory hammer. It's the glory hammer, guys. We need to smack people on the head with the glory hammer. I'm going to say it again. You shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness. I love this one bit where Catherine of Siena, she was so drunk on God. She said she was fat drunk. Fat drunk. I want to be fat drunk on God. If the saints were fat drunk on God, I want to be fat drunk. What's fat drunk? Who wants to be a skinny drunk? I want to be fat drunk on Jesus, fat drunk. So I want to be abundantly satisfied on the fatness of his house. You know, some people have forgotten the frequency of smiling. You know, some people in church are so miserable, you haven't seen their teeth. You don't know what their teeth look like because they've forgotten. They've forgotten to curve up the corners. In churches, often the frown is the default face. It's this. I know I've had a hard week. Why have you had a hard week? Because you've forgotten your mystic union. And they're there praying, oh, God, come. And God's going, I'm in you, dude. And they're going, look, I'm a wretch. He's like, you're not. You're wonderful. You're priceless. I died for you. And we've been bewitched. That's why we've got to fight for our worship back. Let's get this stuff in the worship, that we're in union, we're in oneness, we're innocent, we're whacked. Right. Let's start to remember gospel music. Gospel music, you know, I love gospel music. Have you ever heard real gospel music? There's such a frequency of joy on it.
Come on.
It's such a, whoa.
Don't you know that I'm so glad I've got joy. I'm so glad I've got joy. Joy, joy, joy. Hey! Joy, joy, joy. He gave me joy. He gave me joy. He gave me joy. He gave me joy. so glad I've got joy. I'm so glad I've got joy. I'm so glad I've got joy. Joy, joy, 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 joy.
What is your life? It is actually a musical comedy. It's a musical comedy. You have to know what kind of film you're in. You're not in a creepy thriller. You're not in a horror story. You're in a romantic comedy, a happy. It says they sang for joy at the start of creation. All the angels sang. It says wisdom played at the beginning in Proverbs. Sachak means play. She played and delighted in the sons of men, and in his presence is laughter and fullness of joy. There is an energy on the wine. Just this is the thing, is we don't let God whack us because we feel unworthy. You are not unworthy. You are not unworthy because you are God's kids. God loves us so much. He just wants to cuddle us and squeeze us and hug us and kiss us until our eyeballs pop out. I'm joking, guys. God's not going to pop out anybody's eyes. But, you know, he wants to squeeze you and squeeze you and squeeze you. And, you know, we come to church and go, I'm a wretch. Oh, Lord, make me holy. It's like, did you guys know holiness is a gift? Holiness is a gift. It says in scripture, we don't have our own righteousness. It's all a gift. You are holy. You are already holy. So we've got to stop singing these naff songs. Yeah, someone said, I want to live in the holy distillery. That's great. How about writing a song on that? God locked me in the wine cellar and I can't get out. And I don't want to. That would be a good song. God loves you and he's happy about you and he dances over you. That would be a great song. Yeah. You know? Let's start to remember that God is not in a bad mood. If God's in a bad mood, who would want to go to heaven, right? Can you imagine going to a heaven where God's in a bad mood? That would not be heaven. But it says in his presence is fullness of joy and total celebration. The angels, it says, are in festival assembly or joyful assembly. Even the angels are getting whacked. Even the angels are getting whacked by God. Why do you think they're all partying around the throne constantly? It's not because they're having to go, holy, holy, holy. They're going, holy, whoa. They're getting hit by lightning bolts, guys. So anyway, is everybody with me? I'm going to change my view to gallery to see if everybody's with me, because I know it's, yes, come on, Anwar, he's in with it. Jackie,
Caroline,
Kelly, Maddie, and Ben. Come on,
Anne. Right.
Woo. This is it, guys. This is it. So, wow. I know it's controversial. This is why I don't get invited to most churches, but I don't want to go to most churches. So it's okay with me. It's like, do I really want an injection of misery on a Sunday morning? No, I don't. So anyway. I'm being funny, guys, because it's got to change. It has to change. Everything else is changing. We all don't mind upgrading iPhones. How about upgrading our lifestyle and starting to have some real fun? Real fun. Plan A is joy. If it's not bringing you joy, change it. Start living in the rhythm of joy, the rhythm of grace, because that's what makes you not want to sleep at night. It's not that you're fasting sleep and like burning the midnight oil. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, I'm just trying to spend more time with you. No, it's like, oh, wow. Oh, woohoo, woohoo. So just last week, I was in bed and for 3 hours between 12 and 3 a.m., there was a shimmering whack and Rachel was asleep, but I was lying in bed with the shimmer. And that's what God wants to do. Now, my friend Nancy Cohen, she's crazy, right? I did a conference with her in Texas. It was bonkers. It was crazy, guys. She preached until 5 o'clock in the morning. I mean, the meeting finished. And she said, if anyone in the conference wants to come back to my hotel, You can come back with us. So we went back to the hotel. The security guard opened the doors because it was late, and half the conference came in and sat in the reception area until 5 o'clock in the morning. And Nancy's just sharing stories. Now, Nancy has a thing called the bubble up. How many of you guys want the bubble up? Do you know what the bubble up is? Mm-hmm. Do you guys know what the bubble up is? No, we don't have to know. I just want it. I don't have to know what bubble up is. I don't need to know. I don't need to know how the candies are made. I just want those candies. Well, she has this thing called the bubble up. And I was like, what's the bubble up? Well, she said, honey, God can regenerate me in 10 minutes. And that's enough energy for a whole 24 hours. And I said, how does that work, Nancy? She says, well, sometimes I'll just lie in bed and put the duvet or the blanket over my head and I'll just have the bubble up. I was like, Nancy, what's the bubble up? She said, well, God's presence will just shimmer down my body and shimmer back up again and shimmer down my body, shimmer down up again. And for 10 minutes, I'll have the bubble up. Guys, I want the bubble up. Mm-hmm. How is it that Nancy, yeah, Rachel's got her hands up. This is why I love Rachel. This is why I'm married to Rachel. You know, she's as crazy as I am. Lord, for everybody that wants the bubble up, can I see a hand raised for the bubble up? The bubble up altar call.
Those hands. Oh, yeah.
I see those good, hands.
That's the second time I've said that on this call.
I see those hands. The bubble up.
Bubble up.
Now, maybe one of you talented musicians on this call should write a song called I Want the Bubble Up. You know, these are the kind of songs we've got to get, guys. Let's get the bubble up going. Can you now just think about this? What would it be like for you to have the bubble up whenever you need it? And you break from the pattern of sleep where you are living in God. Because, you know, we're a cosmic species. Behind me, I've got the stars and galaxies. And I'll talk about this in the future. But, you know, I've seen the future. And, you know, in the future, we are full of God as he is. We are revealed as beings of light in the cosmos. And we have no needs. And that's Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is probably one of the most powerful encoded scientific psalms in the Bible. The Lord showed me it's a Melchizedek psalm. What does that mean? It means encoded in every line is technology for the future. Whoa. So I've got like a 2-hour preach on Psalm 23, which I got from one ecstasy from Jean Goyon. Jean Goyon came into our house and she was one of the French mystics. She wrote on Union. She came into the house. The presence went through the whole house. Rachel was upstairs. She came down to see what was going on. I said, I'm having a visitation. Jean Goyon was kneeling in front of me. She put her hand on my knee, didn't say a word. And I went into a two-week encounter. I could still do everything, but I was in the encounter. And she gave me Psalm 23. And she showed me that Psalm 23 is connected to everything in scripture, but encoded in Psalm 23 is the technology. I have no needs, for you are with me. You prepare a table. That's the inedia. I'm feasting, not warring. I'm feasting. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So death is a shadow. Death doesn't touch you. So you're immortal. He makes me lie down and restores my soul. So your soul is being restored continually in him. He leads me beside still waters. So you're in rest and stillness with living waters. He restores your soul. He covers my head with oil. So you're now dripping in oil, energeo, power. Wow. Woo! Wow. So you're dripping with oil, feasting. Wow, and goodness and love follow you. So now you have the law of magnetism where you're being stalked by goodness and love or mercy. You actually, angels are stalking you. You can't get away from heaven. You're not pressed into heaven. They are tracking you down. And then it says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So you now split into a multi-locational being. So part of you never leaves that place. And you're functioning in all these different dimensions as a multidimensional Enochian Melchizedek being. Guys, I'm not even scratching the surface of Psalm 23. If you want to go into a realm of Melchizedek, and it's all interconnected throughout scripture, the Lord showed me it's a gateway psalm for higher consciousness. Wow. So it starts with union. You are with me. Any song that says he's not with you, any preaching that separates you brings death. But life is found in union, and it starts with union. And the green pastures there means the full supply of everything you need. So even as wealth, health, provision, nomos is the root of it. Whoever believes in me, I am the door, go in and out, find green pastures. So what is green pastures? Green pastures is the unlimited economic system of the above. Wow. I'm getting really toasted right now. So I hope that you guys are tracking with me. Can you wave if you're tracking with me? Do you know, wow, do you know how powerful this realm is, God, guys of union? I got all that teaching I'm giving you now and more, much, much more by Jean Goyon just touching my knee. She touched my knee. And that's how intimate God wants to be in this generation. You can have one touch from a saint tonight and have more revelation than you even know how to handle, because God is wanting us to be upgraded. He wants us to be expanded. He wants us to have infused knowledge. We're in the age where it says you'll need no man teach you. Wow. You'll need no man teach you, but you'll all be taught by the Lord. Wow. So everything's changing, guys. Everything's changing. All right. Wow. Whew. I'm feeling it right now. Lord, thank you for the saints, that we're encompassed by the saints. Do you, this is just me going off on a tangent now, but did you know there are saints allocated to you by Yahweh? They were allocated to you before you were even born, some of them. And they are willing to partner with you. One of the things to do in your life is find out which saints are part of your sacred dance, which saints in the cloud of witnesses are part of your life story. And you'll feel it because you'll be drawn to them. And the reason that they have an impact on you and you have an impact on them is that you're connected to the strand through space and time that they're out working. Wow. And you have permission to interact with them. They are part of your family and the angels that are allocated to you. If you don't know the angels that work with you, sit down with a journal, meditate, and ask the Lord for them to begin to engage you and write what they say to you. And you will start to hear from them, because you are supposed to hear from them, because they're your family. They're your family. Woo! See, the thing is, guys, what people haven't realized is all open. It's like, which bit of this, this is how you know what's on your scroll for now, by the way. Which part of this book really jumps out to you? Is it the saints? Is it the angels? Is it going to Zion? Is it living in energy? Because follow that strand, that golden strand. Is it teleportation, bilocation, and metamorphosis? Wow. And there are many chapters I haven't included in this. I'm going to do a new edition of this where I add new chapters for the 10-year anniversary of the book. So I'm going to add some more, and I'm going to add on the one I should have added at the very beginning. It should have started with union. Yeah, somebody put mastering time. I was thinking, after I finished this series with you guys, I thought I'd teach on time-bending miracles, because one of the signs of this age is that time will no longer be fallen. Because remember, part of the fruit, the fruit of the fall was that they sweated and there was toil and time fell. Now, in the new creation, you can redeem the time. Scripture says, redeem the time. That word there, exegorezo, means take the power of time or the energy of time and make it work for you. So you are called to make time work for you. Would you like to do in an hour what takes other people a whole day to do? I have had amazing time miracles, guys. And I tell you what, that's the way we should function, so that you always have enough time, stretching time, bending time. This will freak some of you guys out. I've even had non-time where I've done things and not a minute's passed. Not a minute's passed. I've even had one time where I needed to prepare and I had an hour and I was doing these slides, preparing them. And I said, God, I need more time. I need more time. I finished the slides, an hour went, and then God took me back a whole hour. So I'd already done the slides and I had a free hour. Someone's whacked too. That's beautiful. It's hard when you're whacked, but we're going to keep going because plan A is whack. And guys, if you're not whack, join the whack. Join the whack by not frowning. Everything's okay. Okay. This is another meditation. This is from Julian of Norwich. Okay. All is well and all shall be well. All is well and all shall be well. Just feel it. All is well, not just for you, but everything's going to be okay for your family too, and this world. All is well. Everything that looks wrong will be restored. Everything will be made beautiful in its time. The story's not over for anyone, even those that have died. It's not over. So all is well. And all shall be well. Because he's the perfecter. He's the Aleph. I said about the Aleph being the breath. I tell you the other thing God is. He's the Tav. He is the end. And everything will be wrapped up in him. Everything will be perfected in him. Every person you've ever known, everything you've ever seen. Woo! Think about some people that you know that you really love. All is well and all shall be well. If you feel any negative emotion right now, just let that go. Let go all negative energy. If you feel any upset, let it go because everything's okay. All of these things drain your energy. That's why we need to let them go. If it's not in the present moment with you right now, let it go. Memories, dreams, people, let them go. And start to live in the abiding realm of love with Yahweh in the beauty of now, where this peppermint tea, it's beautiful. And honestly, I've said this before, guys, I can get really whacked off pumpkin pies because I love pumpkin pies. And when I eat that creamy, delicious pumpkin with a bit of cinnamon pastry, there's a lot of glory on it. See, the whole earth, it says, is full of the glory. Guys, the whole earth is full of the glory. The whole earth, this is what the angels are saying. In a mantra, in a chant, they're going, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled . That's the state we've got to enter into when we realize it's filled and you live in the burning layers of the divine. All around you, the oxygen around you saturated with goodness. The word God comes from the word good. It's a condensed version of it. It says, we will tremble at his goodness in the last days. This is coming, guys. There's a realm of energy coming on you. People are going to get younger. There's going to be youth miracles. There's going to be life miracles. We are entering into a time of wonder. The Lord told me these will be known as the days of wonder. Whew. So there's a scripture, Ephesians 2:13. I know it doesn't seem like I'm talking about sleep, but I am. I'm telling you a mystery. I'm telling you how we get past energy drain. We have to live in the wonder. So teshuva means return to the wonder. Repentance means return to the wonder of now. Every breath is a wonder. Every person you meet is a wonder. That's how the Celtic saints change nations. Patrick said this, Christ in the eyes of everyone who sees me, Christ in the voice of everyone who speaks to me, Christ behind me and above me and below me. He saw Christ defined everything. If we can see that, there's energy. So Ephesians 2:13 says this, but now, wow, everything has changed. I love that. But now, wow. So maybe one of you musicians on here would like to write a wow song. I would love, if you write a wow song, I may come to your church. If you write a wow song, I put a challenge out right now to you Kainos New Creation people out there. I'm putting the wow challenge out. So it says this, but now, wow, everything has changed. You have discovered yourselves to be located in Christ. That's the mirror translation. Now, I know it doesn't sound like the regular ones. It's a paraphrase, but the truth's still in it. You have discovered that you're located in Christ. Now, I know a woman called Sharon who lives up north. And when I went to their house a few years ago, she wasn't sleeping because she'd had a revelation that she was in Christ. So she would be lying in bed all night. And she'd had this revelation of perichoresis, the great dance, that I'm in the Spirit, in Jesus, in the Father. And she showed me three glasses that she put on the table. The first one was, no, four glasses. The first one was her. Then she put another glass over it, Holy Spirit. Another glass over it, Jesus. And another glass over it, the Father. And she said, I'm in them. And you know what? She would be all night shimmering in God's presence with love, not sleeping for days, because she kept thinking about the fact she's in them. She's in the dance. We have to see it's a dance. It's not a sin story. Religion's about sin, because religion's the cult of death. Sin brings death. There's no sin in this now. Jesus has deleted it with his blood. He's removed the record of sin. He says he's removed it out of sight. He says, your sins, I will remember no more. So every time we're bringing it back to a sin story, that's okay for people who are just getting to know Jesus. But when you embrace Jesus, it should be an innocent story. Because what you focus on, you'll become. Wow. So my friend Sharon, she was just in the glory all night, shimmering in perichoresis, the great dance that the Trinity is called. There's a name for this. This is a theological term. Perichoresis is from the early centuries of the church. It means the circular dance. So the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have included us. So we've become the fourth part of that. We've been included into the Trinity to create the four faces that the universe is waiting for, to see creation now releasing the dance. That's what Jesus has done for humanity. Jesus has shifted humanity into the dance of the Trinity. Now, the name that theologians call this, get ready for a theological term, is called the celebrative constancy. So I want you guys to see this. This is so important. When you think about God, do you think about a group of people in a dance? Because it's not a big man on a throne. It's a God in a dance. Yes, there are many thrones, but you're in him in those thrones to release love. The core of who God is play. You know, one of the earliest theologians said that God made the universe as an act of play, as an act of dance, and it was made with music. It said the sons of God sang for joy, shouted for joy. It says wisdom danced and played at the beginning. And the first word, the first job description in the Bible is wisdom. And it says she was an artisan, which means an artist. So the very, or architect. And a woman was the architect, or a female being. So the very, this is the picture that the Celtic saints had of God. That's why they drew these crosses with all of these circles. And they had animals interwoven because they saw it. They saw the dance. That's what will get you whacked. That's what will get you, will keep you up at night. That's what will give you supernatural levitating love. That's what will make your heart beat so hard. You know, some of the saints, they had a miracle called incendium amoris, the burning heart of love. Some of them would be so on fire from love, you could hear their heartbeat like a drum. Catherine of Siena had that. And others, they would be in communion and you'd hear a drum playing and people be looking around for where's the drum. It was people's hearts. Their hearts were beating out of their chests because of love. They were eating Jesus, living in Jesus, getting whacked on Jesus. Yes, Jesus chose wine. You know, some churches teach that Jesus didn't really make wine. It was raspberry juice or something, because they can't get an idea that God is fun. God is intoxicated. You know, in the early church, love feasts with communion, they used to get, drink too much. So we even have Paul recording this. Paul said, guys, you've got to steady down on the drinking. Some of you guys are drinking too much. Now, I'm not saying we should drink loads. I don't drink alcohol much myself. But I'm saying there's a principle of joy that we've not understood. There's a principle. This is what will fuel you, because what am I saying? Is the joy of the Lord is your strength. His joy. His joy. You don't have to have it. He has it. He has it. He's the wine. He's the whack. You are the wineskin. This is the new wineskin. And what you do is, you know, you see Christians still today saying we're going to get a new wineskin. Why? What's wrong with this wineskin? We need a new wineskin for revival. And the Lord's going, what's wrong with your body? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body's the new wineskin. Hello. And Jesus is the wine. Jesus is the bliss. His body is the bliss. His body is the wine. Lots of the saints ate communion and would fly. Like Joseph of Cupertino, he was banned from public communion for 30 years because he would levitate in communion and he would levitate in the choir. He was hopeless in the choir. He also levitated if anybody showed him Christian artwork. If somebody showed him a picture of Mary, he couldn't keep his feet off on the ground. He even, you guys maybe haven't read his book, it's incredible. He even levitated in front of the Pope because he got so whacked when he saw the Pope. He floated off the ground in front of hundreds of people. He went to kiss the ring, the Pope. He got so whacked off it, kissing the ring of glory, that he actually floated off the ground in ecstasy in front of hundreds and hundreds of people. Guys, we've got to get whacked again. We've got to rediscover the wine again. Okay. Oh, this is probably, I don't know, is this my worst talk yet on the Beyond Human series? I'm sorry. I'm stuck in the wine room.
It's all good.
Is it okay, Rach? I mean,
it's all good.
What can I say?
It's nothing like wine.
I think God's speaking through me. I'm sure he is. I'm sure he's speaking through me. So anyway, should we talk about sleep for a minute before we have a question and answer? I think I'm supposed to be talking about, I was supposed to be talking about sleep tonight. I spent the last hour talking about getting whacked. Anyway, how many of you guys enjoy the whack? How many of you guys think it's a good idea? I'll tell you a little story about Rachel. Rachel, my wife, is a chugga-lugger. Rachel has more glory in her than you can imagine. When I went a few years ago, I got invited to speak in Morningstar. Rachel started a joy outbreak in the lobby of the hotel. Didn't you, honey? There was a ruckus. There was about 30 bodies in the lobby. I don't think they knew what to do.
I can't blame my angels for this.
No, you can't blame your angels, Rachel. I know what you're like. I've seen you at quite a few conferences start a little joy outbreak. I don't think they knew quite what to do with us there, did they, Rach?
No, but it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. You know,
people wanted it.
Joy is the most serious business of heaven. C.S. Lewis said that. C.S. Lewis said, yeah, Esther Chirito is on here. Chariot, I love you. She gets whacked in every meeting. She's a good girl. She's a good, good girl. Anyone else on this call enjoy the wine? Wine boobers.
Wine boobers.
I'm going to go to gallery mode right now and look at where we're at in this.
There's a lot of people who love the wine. Like.
Here we go. Gallery. Yes, there they are.
Chug-a-luggers.
There they are, the chug-a-luggers. Chug-a-luggers. Wow. We have a lot of chuggers on our, yeah. Wow. I tell you what, my mum's on here, Ruth.
Yeah.
She's Ruth's a chug-a-lugger. She's on here, aren't you, Ruthie?
She's had her eyes closed most of the evening.
Now, Ruthie, can you put me on with Ruthie for a second?
Yeah.
Ruthie, can you make us, me and Ruthie on screen together?
Yeah,
Ruthie
is. Ruthie?
Yeah. Ruthie, there she is. Hi, Ruthie.
Yeah.
Ruth is my rather innocent-looking mother. But I'll tell you a little secret about Ruth. She taught me to get whacked as a kid. Mm-hmm. Didn't you, Ruthie?
Yes.
You love getting whacked and used to get whacked on Moses. You studied Moses for 10 years, didn't you?
Yes.
Do you love Moses?
Well, I do. Well, I like Genesis and Exodus and how God moves within the life of all the Torah and, oh, it's just...
Yeah, she's getting whacked right now. She's on it. She's swimming
in the wine right now.
Now we've had to carry her out of quite a few little meetings. But you know, if you mention Moses, good old Moses, she loves a
good
bit
old
of Moses.
Moses. Yes, glory. Good old Moses, a bit of glory.
Now you taught as well.
There's
on the
glory
tabernacle.
In the tabernacle. Oh yes.
You like? Does the tabernacle get you whacked?
Yes, absolutely.
And. You've taught me a lot about getting whacked. And when I was growing up, my mum used to have ecstasies. People didn't know what they were. She would sing in the spirit in the meetings and she would shine. She had a flame on her head once. Yes. I remember her having a flame on her head. How about that? How many of you guys on this call would like a living flame on your head?
The Lord is good beyond all comprehension and magnificence. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The simcha and the shalom of his presence, the joy and the peace of his presence.
Yeah.
Beyond words.
And what is it why do you do that? Why, how do you get so whacked?
I just link somehow. I don't know quite how to describe it. It's just sit in his presence and
wow.
And you just breathe him in. And it's like dewdrops from heaven and and it's rather joyful.
You had a real joy encounter in heaven, didn't you, where we both went together to this river.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Tell them about the fish you saw. Tell them about those fishies.
The fish,
what were they like? They were, because you got so, every time I mention these fish you got like,
it was a beautiful river that came down from the throne, and I knew it was Holy Spirit. There were shimmering rainbow colours and these fish were there.
What was funny? You keep laughing around, about that.
Swimming around and they had those comic teeth. Like... But they just swam around and with me, and the Holy Spirit's presence was swimming around me, and these fish kept turning, and they were multicolored and rainbow, and they just had these teeth that were smiling. And they just it just cracked me up, you know. I just and every time I go back into that and into the essence of it, there's such a joy, there's such a simcha, there's such a presence of his purity and his holiness and everything that's wonderful about being in his presence and breathing him in and swimming and swirling and ascending. And
you love those little fishy, don't you? Because whenever I mention those fishies, you burst into laughing, don't you?
I do.
I'd love to see those little fishies.
Yes. Well, just get into the river then, Jeff.
Okay. Get into the river. Wow. I don't ever remember a time that you've not been whacked. You know, you've lived in the bliss. And actually, when I was like 7 years old, you were singing over me in my bedroom. And that's when I got baptized in the spirit. I got hit by the lightning of God and jumped out of my bed.
Speaking
in tongues, little Justin. I had my first ecstasy at seven.
You did indeed.
My first ecstasy. And my whole body was flooded with Holy Spirit, and I couldn't even stay in my bed. I jumped out of my bed speaking loudly in tongues. It's beautiful.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
Beautiful. Thank you. Wolfie, could you just, before I finish my little teaching now for the next 15 minutes, do you want to just pray over people some wine, some glory, glory whack impartation?
Yes. We lift our hearts to you, Lord, and we embrace you. We take your joy and we eat it, Lord.
Yeah, we drink it. Give yourself to the wine.
Yes, that's right.
Maybe say that now. I'm in.
I'm in.
I'm in.
One thing.
Permanently. Mm. Wow. Thank you, Wolfie. I'm going to just finish for 10 minutes before question answer. Love you, Ruthie.
You too, Jeff.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Love you. Okay, guys, I'm going to just finish. I didn't speak about sleep miracles. I'll send you my notes. How about that? And you can read up yourself. But I want to give you a quote from Francois de Toy, the mirror translation guy, because I love his translation. He said this, the ultimate proof of faith, is it raising the dead? Is it the blind see? No, he said the ultimate proof of faith is not an experience of the supernatural. It's not that, but entering into his rest. Now, Bob Jones prophesied something incredible. He said this decade on the timeline.
That's right.
The church is meant to enter into his rest for what's coming next. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we'll burn out in the next move. We'll burn out like Todd Bentley burnt out and other people burnt out. There was a revival in Wales recently, like 5 or 10 years ago. They burnt out. The pastor burnt out. His family burnt out. We cannot go into the next stage where thousands are coming and incredible wonders are happening in the media if we don't enter into his rest. And isn't it amazing that the start of this decade, everything had to shut down? You know, we can say it's the enemy, or we can say actually, is God speaking? Is he saying, stop and learn to enter into my rest? Because what's coming next will not get there on human energy. Mm-hmm. Your food won't give you enough energy. Your sleep won't give you enough energy because we are going into the big wave. We are going into the biggest wave that humanity's ever seen. It's the transition to the next age. There will never be a time like this. God's been given prophets words on it for the last 50 years, 100 years, going back to William Branham, Bobby Connor, Paul Kane. We are about to transition into something beyond human. So we have to start to live in the rest of God. This is how Francois de Toy defines rest. He says the Sabbath or rest is now a place of God's unhindered enjoyment of mankind and mankind's unhindered enjoyment of God. Did you hear that, guys? Rest is you fully enjoying God and God fully enjoying you. Totally, the brakes have come off, the limits have come off. The fears come off and you are enjoying him and he is feasting on you. He is feasting on you. It's unlimited enjoyment. It's now he has brought me to the house of wine. You are the house of oil. Psalm 23 again. You anoint my head with oil. My cup, what does it do? Overflows. So you are the source. Get this. You are the source of the overflow. Wow, 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 wow. So coming back to sleep, I'll end with this quote. St. Philip of Neri, he was getting so blissed and whacked by God that he asked God to stop so he could get some sleep. He said this, when a man really loves God, he comes to such a state in the end that he's obliged to say, Lord, let me get some sleep. How would you like to live in such a way that you haven't slept for such a long time, but you want time off from God hugging and kissing you? And you say, Lord, I could really do with a night off and I need some sleep. That's where we're going. And it's going to be amazing. He's going to restore the wow.
Wow.
Wow in your
wow
life.
Now.
Wow now. That's it, Rach. Now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Now.
Let's say that now. Wow. Now. Wow.
Now.
Wow now.
Wow now.
Wow now.
Wow now.